If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I'm Ben and this is Sia. So last week we dove into tribes and that was really interesting, you know, whether they're passion-based, whether they're goal-based, whatever, you know, whether they're a personal tribe or a business tribe, whatever. But the question came to mind and Sia and I were talking about this offline and we wanted to bring this into this realm and gnaw on this. How do you market to the right people in the right way? Because there are people that will never buy from you. They're probably 90% of the world or 95% of the world will never buy from you. And that's okay. You know, if you sit there and say, okay, 0.1% of the world might know that I exist, and a percentage of that is actually gonna want, you know, have a need, want, or desire and can afford what we want, that's a different story altogether. The question is, how do we market these people? How do we define who these people are so we can sit there and say, all right, these are the people that actually have a need, a problem that we can solve, and the money to, you know, that they want to give to us to fix it or somebody like us to fix this. How do we communicate with them? So, Sia, let's gnaw on this.
You know, I've been called many things in life, Ben, so thank you. I'll take Nia.
Nia? I don't know where Nia came from, but whatever.
You know why? Because you're saying gnaw on this, and it was Sia.
I was saying
time.
Gnaw on this, so gnaw on this became Nia.
Like I said, I've been called many things in life, and I ain't gonna sweat it. So
as long as you don't call me late for dinner, I'm good.
Darn straight. Literally the other day, I literally say this almost once a week. If I, you know, when I inevitably leave this mortal coil that we call Earth here, it will be because of food. So yes. I can be food motivated.
So going back
to, you know, marketing to the tribe, right? The right tribe, right message, yeah. Right time, et cetera. You know, this really ultimately goes to, if you truly understand the problem you're solving and the value you're bringing, the identity of that audience will come out a bit more clear. And mm-hmm. It's shocking, and I'm guilty of it every day, just as much as anyone else. It is shocking if you don't have the data in front of you to really analyze it. We can always go with our intuition, and I'm intuitive, so I catch that. But you really sometimes need some cold, hard little digital facts. You know, do some research. You know, 10, 15 minutes, at least you say you did research, right? To really understand and say, wait, am I really talking to the right people? Because I literally just went through this exercise for another client. And I was like, holy crap on crackers, you guys. What we targeted is not who is actually resonating with this message.
Yeah.
It's sobering.
How many people try to sell the 12-slice toaster to 25-year-old single men? You know, just like you have this great product that does amazing things, but you're selling it to the absolutely the wrong audience. These people don't need it, don't want it, are never going to spend the money for it. So why are you targeting these people long and hard saying, hey, listen, you need to buy my toaster, when they never will? It flabbergasts me how many companies do this. They sit there and say, everybody's my customer. Everybody with a heartbeat and a Visa card is my customer. No, they're not.
You know,
no, they are not.
You know what you reminded me of? I saw this and I probably should look for it. So I think it was Volvo.
Uh-huh.
It was Volvo. And they had come out with, you know how they have like car shows where they always have experimental cars? Like,
sure.
They're never going to go into production, but it's kind of like a welcome to our pipe dream group, right? And they actually let the female employees, they created a group to create the ideal car for women. And they
that
said,
would be interesting.
They said, don't worry about being practical. Just design what you guys with all the features, conveniences, and all that stuff. And the design came out extraordinarily interesting. Again, because there was like extra cup holders, there was place for trash, there was place to, put your purse. You know, there's tray tables for the kids section, you know, all this, like all these little different accoutrements, if you want to think about it. But it's relevant to the female demographic. And of course, they're like making fun, the techie heads were making fun of like, well, it's completely impractical because you're putting the component that's needed where the window washer would be. It's like you the instructions were, if there was a dream, this is what it would look like. So it wasn't a drivable car, okay? So it kind of reminds me of, oh, wait, and Volvo or whomever, I shouldn't malign Volvo if it's not Volvo, but whatever car company it was, they didn't implement one of those ideas. Mike, are you literally had the perfect audience that would, if you just tweaked it to whatever made sense, those features should have been applied and thrown
Or at
in
least
and
some of them.
whatever.
At least some of them.
Yeah. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know what I'm saying? There's some good, and that's what I find fascinating, right? Like, so that's why going back to saying data gives you the opportunity to be looking at them saying, oh, okay, maybe I should throw a couple extra, cup holders and a trash bin, whatever, right?
And the question is, what was the demographic? Was it the soccer mom, or was it the yuppie,
Professional traveling person, whatever.
Exactly. And each one is going to have different needs. Each one is going to look at a car very differently. I mean, the beautiful thing about Volvo for years was known as the car that you bought to keep your family safe.
Yep. Not
That was what
sexy
it was.
safe.
That I mean, that it was definitely never sexy. I drove Volvos for almost 20 years. They were never a sexy car, but they were always known as the safe, reliable car. They were almost bulletproof. And you could drive. I mean, I had the first Volvo I drove, I think I got 400,000 miles out of it before I ended up having to, finally get rid of it to a wrecker. But, it was one of those things where you sit there and say, okay, for the demographic that they were going after, they had obviously got into people's minds that if I'm buying a car for my girlfriend, if I'm buying a car for my wife who's going to be driving my kids around, that's going to be, hauling hockey bags and this and that, everything, the Volvo station wagon pre, this is pre, SUV, this is pre minivan era. The Volvo was the car of choice. And for years they were able to instill that idea, says this is our audience, these are the people that we're going after, this is why they're buying this car. Okay, let's just market the snot out of this. And they did, and they did extremely well. And I think they went away from that. And tried to go for the more yuppie, the more upscale, the more and they lost their identity and all of a sudden couldn't differentiate themselves in the market like everybody else.
So it's funny, we talked about this at the beginning of the year. So those want to go back in time, we talked about missteps in brands and rebranding. And there was a conversation at Jaguar, I think it was, that we picked on, where they went with all of a sudden like these like Gen Z pink and purple neon lights and all that stuff. And again, full disclosure, I have a Jaguar people, and I was like, I liked it. I thought it was cool, but I also understand the demographic of affording a Jaguar is not the demographic that can actually, like, who they market it to is not exactly the crew that can buy a ton of those, right? And so I get it. You're trying to look youthful, but again, you have to understand your market. You have to understand, it's a luxury brand, right? So trying to part like to market towards like the party crew is not exactly the right message, right? But I mean, hey, look, you want to look fancy in your 20s, go for it. But even I, when I finally got the car, I was already in my 40s. Like I understood it to be like, hey, that's my, I have arrived. I've worked really darned hard for this car. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I think if you are going to market to your target audience, you better know all the details, the nuances. Again, as we keep harping on this, what is the value exchange of whatever you're marketing to that they're
Absolutely.
going to embrace you? And why should they give a damn? What emotion are you evoking that is going to make them want to listen to you and get excited to cheer you on and root, right? We talked about building that tribe. What's that emotional hook and connection that they can say,
Yeah.
"Ooh, me too, that's me," right? So, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, oh, man. What you think you're going to market to is not necessarily what the actual market is. And I think that's the crazy part. And knowing where you do your marketing, right? So, especially in the context of social media, you better know each platform's strengths and how that message should look if you want to really evaluate the success of that campaign. Because to
Oh,
judge
yeah.
it, TikTok versus LinkedIn engagement, right? And to think they're equitable is like basically judging, telling a goldfish to judge itself if it could climb a tree.
Well, it's like if you're going after people who read the New York Times and actually read the New York Times or the HBR, you really shouldn't be advertising a TikTok. Because they're completely different crowds. And you look at it and sit there and say, unless I have an audience that actually sits there and digests this type of information on TikTok and engages with it and embraces it, why am I spending time, money, and effort being there? So it's, people, I love people who sit there and go, okay, I'm going to create one social media ad. And I'm gonna put it across every single platform, and they wonder why
It fails.
it flops completely. Because people sit there going, okay, I see this on six different platforms. I'm not looking at Facebook for the same reason I'm looking at TikTok or Instagram or LinkedIn or whatever. You're going to different platforms for different reasons.
I do want to do asterisk with that statement you made. You if you like to absorb that kind of content, right?
Yes.
Do not say, I'm not trying to say that you cannot do. There are content creators who can articulate some business concepts, et cetera, in a way that's in the vernacular of the target audience, which TikTok
Not
is
saying
Gen
that.
Z.
I am agreeing with it. I'm
No,
agreeing with that, but
but
it
using the
can't be
same
the same
verbiage,
ad. No, no. You
not gonna
can't use the
work.
same images, the same verbiage. Your brand should be your brand across platforms. Your value statement should be your value statement across platforms. How you communicate that value changes based on the platform and the audience that responds to that thing. And whether that's TV, whether that's radio, whether that's blogs, whether that's podcasts, whether it's social media, whether it's actual newspaper or radio, we need to sit there and understand who's listening to the 1980s radio station and why. And is this a demographic that I care about? Do they care about me? And if I do that, how am I testing my engagement to understand whether those people who go there are actually the ones coming to my website or phoning me or doing whatever we want them to do? And I think there's a lot of power in that of understanding the data. I mean, I think when you take a look at the two things you said was the Jaguar ad, and you can also put Budweiser in that same category with their missteps. But realize how quickly both of them ran away from those campaigns when they realized they were toxic. At least they were smart enough to run away from the different campaigns when they realized how toxic they really were to the their brand. And it's interesting how Bud has gone back to the good old boys, the Southern rock concerts and that kind of stuff in their advertising, because that was the demographic that was buying Budweiser beer. So it's amazing how we take a look at our societies and go through this. So what we need to do, and I think we're getting ready to land this plane, is that we need to take a look at this, and we need to sit there and go, okay, how do we, first of all, understand why and who cares about us? Like, who actually can buy this? Who actually has a problem we can solve? Who actually finds that problem, significant enough that they're looking to have that problem solved? And who actually has the money in their back pocket that are willing to sit there and say, I'm willing to give you money if you can fix my problem? And those are the people we need to sit there and say, okay, wait a second. I've built the solution. I understand your problem. I understand who you are. I understand the challenges that you're facing. Come talk to me because guess what? We've already figured out how to fix that problem or a problem that's similar to yours, and we can customize it to fix the problem that you currently have, depending on whether it's a B2B or a B2C type issue. But we need to constantly be looking at the data and constantly understanding what the data is telling us. And that sometimes means ignoring our own biases.
And it's, man, like old things, easier said than done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, see, do you have anything that you want to add to this
I
before we land this
no,
plane?
we gotta land this plane because I do have a lot of thoughts to say on that because
Yeah.
that's the joy of our show. We can keep going, but no, we must take bring her in, Ben.
All
Bring
right.
her in.
So I'm Ben,
No, see ya.
and we'll see you soon.
Hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. If you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at imbenbaker.com or me at brilliantbeammedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. See you next week for another episode of Not On This Business Bites.